We've come today to the third and last part of the second lesson of a series of six lessons regarding God and the nations, the third version under this title, looking at Jesus now rules and judges the nations, that is, God through Jesus rules the nations today. And we began looking the last two lessons at God, the points listed. God through Jesus rules the nations today. Jesus rules and righteously judges the nations, saving those who obey him. And Jesus rules over the nations, foretold and fulfilled. We looked at a few of those prophecies previously and how they were fulfilled. Jesus ruling over the nations. Jesus beginning ruling over heaven and earth from David's true throne, which is at the right hand of God in heaven. The promise made to David, 2 Samuel 7, and we see it fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Jesus as high priest and king rules over all, rules over his kingdom and the nations. The 110th Psalm fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, as well as Hebrews chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 15, and other passages where Jesus is ruling as king and high priest today in heaven at the right hand of God. God declares Jesus the Son of God, ruler of the nations, Psalms 2, fulfilled in Acts 13 and Acts 4, as well as Hebrews 1, which we don't have listed there. And then we come to the part that we will cover today. Jesus, who is God, righteously rules from the throne of God, which is forever. Psalm 45, verses 6 through 8, it was prophesied, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows." And so this is verse 6 and 7, not through 8, but it's from Psalm 45, which talks about the throne of Jesus called the throne of God, Jesus being called God. Hebrews 1 and verse 5, quoting from the second Psalm as well, as the 45th Psalm, proclaiming Jesus ruler over all, and that Jesus is God, the Son of God, and is equal with God. Hebrews 1 and verse 5, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,'" quoting the 13th, the second Psalm, "and again I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.'" And then in verse 7, "And of the angels he says, 'Who make his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire.'" Then he quotes from the 45th Psalm that we just read, prophesied by David 1,000 years before Christ. "But of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom." You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And so Jesus is the one who is God, who is the Son of God, who is ruler of the nations, whose throne is at the right hand of God, and he is ruling over all today, as he has been ever since the first century. Then we go on to look at Jesus as the branch, righteously ruling over Jews and Gentiles, prophesied in Isaiah 11, beginning in verse 1, about 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah 11, 1, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eye sees, nor make a decision by what his ear hears, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. But that is a prophecy that relates to Jesus as the branch, the coming king, ruling over both Jew and Gentile, as the law of Moses would be fulfilled and taken away, and the new covenant to be established. Romans 15 and verse 10, the New Testament, again Paul says, again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. And so this branch, Jesus, will rule over the Gentiles. And so what we have here is several prophecies related to Jesus ruling over the nations fulfilled. When we talk about Jesus beginning ruling over heaven and earth, 2 Samuel 7, fulfilled in Acts 2, Jesus is high priest and king, ruling over his kingdom and the nations. Psalm 110, fulfilled in Acts 2 and Hebrews chapter 10. God declares Jesus the Son of God, ruler of the nations. Psalm 2, fulfilled in Acts 13 and Acts 4, as well as other places, Hebrews 1. Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who is God, righteously rules from his throne, the throne of God, which is forever. Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7, fulfilled in Hebrews 1, verses 5 through 9. And Jesus, the branch, righteously rules over Jews and Gentiles, Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Fulfilled in Romans chapter 15, 10 through 12. But besides these prophecies, which prove the Bible is the Word of God, all prophecies spoken in the Old Testament 100% fulfilled, that we can read about both in the Old and New Testaments. Besides these, we have statements in the New Testament that also witness the fact that Jesus is now ruling over heaven and earth. Jesus' reign confirmed by these passages, such as 1 Peter 3, verses 21 and 22. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. And so the nations as well as angels are subjected to Jesus until he comes again. Revelation 1, beginning in verse 4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. But he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so, these passages, along with the prophecies, confirm that Jesus is the Son of God, but even still a clearer passage, or passages, prophesied in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Daniel, chapter 7 through 12, where Jesus, in his ministry, especially a few days before he was crucified, indicated that he as king would come in judgment against the city of Jerusalem, using the Romans to destroy Jerusalem, including the temple, because of the evil that was being done by the Jewish people, especially against Christians. Jewish Christians, and even against the Gentiles. And so what we have in mind here is the idea that Jesus is now ruling because he brings forth this judgment against Jerusalem. From fulfilled prophecies and other confirmations in the New Testament, that should be just New Testament, not New Testaments, the New Testament writers, we conclude Jesus is ruling the nations now. Further proof of it is provided by Jesus, his detailed description of judgment that he said he would carry out using the Romans to judge Jerusalem. That is from 66 to 70 A.D. is when they began the war against the Jews and finished it in 70 A.D., the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Many misinterpret these passages, saying they refer to some type of rapture where Jesus will finally begin his rule over the nations after bringing the righteous to heaven. And that is nonsensical, because these passages clearly refer to the destruction of Jerusalem so many years ago, not to anything today. Let's go back. But it is clear from Jesus' own words that all these things regarding the destruction of Jerusalem and his coming in judgment would happen in the generation in which he spoke. And so that's what we have in mind to look at Jesus' words here, at least some of them, regarding the coming destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 23 and verse 37, just a couple of days before Jesus would be crucified, a few days, he spoke in the temple regarding what was going to come. Matthew 23 and verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed are he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then he goes on into chapter 24, continuing the same thoughts, the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the end of the Jewish state, the end of the city of Jerusalem, as far as being regarding the temple and so forth. And then Jesus goes on to explain in chapter 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end of the age, the Jewish age, not the end of the world. But he's talking to the disciples, and don't you be deceived, those who were living at that time. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. That is the end of the Jewish age. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. And what is this abomination of desolation that Daniel prophesied of in Daniel chapter 12? Well, Luke, in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 and 21, Luke, recording the same discourse of Jesus about the destruction of Jerusalem, said it like this, Luke 21:20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. And so he's talking about the Roman armies that are surrounding the city. Then you must flee if you are there, because the Romans are about to begin their final destruction of the city. Verse 22 of Luke 21, because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Written about what Jesus had said, but also from Daniel chapter 12, as well as some of the other prophets. Jesus uses the Romans again to judge Jerusalem. He goes on to describe this destruction in very strong language that is not literal, but describes great upheaval and destruction, often used by the prophets to describe the fall of nations in the Old Testament. Matthew 24 and verse 27, for just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Not the final coming, but the coming of Jesus in judgment against the Jewish people. Wherefore the corpse, wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Again, strong language, not literal, but to describe the fall of Jerusalem. Verse 30, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so whatever the language indicates, Jesus is making clear that these things will happen and Jerusalem will be destroyed in his coming, not a personal, literal coming, but a coming in judgment as his reign from heaven continues and Jerusalem will be judged for her unrighteousness and her evil that has been done to the prophets as well as the apostles and to the Christians of that day. And so Jesus is ruling. He is ruling in heaven, and he has been ruling, and he will continue from the first century, and he will continue to rule until he comes again. And when he comes again, All the dead will be raised, and then judgment will take place. No earthly reign, like is speculated and promoted by so many. The reign that Jesus is, he is, has all authority now over heaven and earth, and when he comes again, then he will end his reign and judge humanity, and then become subject to the Father again in whatever way that involves. 1 Corinthians 15:23-28. And so we close our lesson thankful that Jesus is reigning at the right hand of God, and that whatever is happening among the nations, he is in control. And what we need to be concerned about is being righteous before him. Jesus rules and righteously judges the nations, saving those who obey him. Jesus rules over the nations, foretold and fulfilled. He also reigns. His reign is also confirmed by other New Testament passages. Jesus used the Romans to judge Jerusalem. And so that is what we have in mind and what we have covered in our lesson today, and we will look forward to another lesson in this series of lessons next week when we continue. But today we want to close with the idea that no matter what happens to our nation, and eventually it will fall if Jesus does not come or be greatly diminished, as happens to nations over time because of their unrighteousness, no matter what happens, we need to be right with the Lord Jesus so that we might be a part of his eternal kingdom and might be with the saved of all ages for eternity. That can only happen if we become a child of God, and that can only happen if we repent of our sins upon our belief in Jesus, that he lived a perfect life, that he was God in the flesh and lived a perfect life on the earth so that he might be sacrificed for our sins on the cross, was raised from the dead the third day by the Father, appeared before the apostles and other witnesses for 40 days, and ascended back into heaven, where he received all authority as king and high priest, where he is today, ruling over his church and over all the nations, saving those who would believe in him as the Son of God, that he is God along with the Father and the Son, that he is Lord of heaven and earth, ruling the nations, repenting of their sins, turning to him from Satan, turning to God from sin, and then confessing him as the Son of God, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, Acts chapters 2 and 8, that we might be forgiven of all past sins and become his children. This is what we need to do if we are not yet Christians, or even if we think we have become Christians and have not done what we read in Acts chapters 2 and 8, where we become a Christian as penitent believers who confess Jesus as Son of God and are baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. This is when we become Christians as well, not by the sinner's prayer or infant baptism. We would be glad to talk with you and study with you if you would contact us by email, phone, or text at any time. We would be glad to do that so that you might learn more about the truth or find those in your area who can help you if that is better. We would encourage you to respond before it's ever too late. And those who are already Christians, we would encourage you and all of us to repent and pray, confessing our sins often, As we continue to grow in His grace and knowledge and learn and become changed by His Word. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1. Continue to repent and pray and confess our sins and pray to God for forgiveness, that we might continue in His grace. We would plead with all to respond to the gospel today, or be restored back to the Lord if fallen into sin as Christians, as today we draw our lesson to a close.